Bobby has been such a blessing to our church for so many years, such a blessing to me and my family. He heads up our addictions recovery here at the church, and in the years that he's done that, so many people have been helped and have been blessed. I just love this man. I met him when him and his family owned Stone's Gym down in Clear Lake, and always wanted us to do a billboard like promoting exercise. Him and me both on the screen. This was the before, and this is the after right there. There's the after right there. But anyway, Bobby, thank you for being here tonight. And
thank you for having me.
Well, and this is going to be good what we're going to do. I'm going to ask him some questions in just a few minutes. And hopefully what we share tonight, especially what Bobby shares tonight, will be a blessing to you. And so I think you have chosen a good night to come to the prayer and praise service. Are you in a good mood? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
It's been a pretty day out there today that God has given us. I mean, it's so pretty. I started out and I said, I want to drive to Galveston this afternoon. It's so pretty. And I only made it to the Cracker Barrel and I had to stop and eat. So I didn't make it all the way to Galveston, but I had a great lunch at the Cracker Barrel. But anyway, you know, several Sunday nights ago, I did a little sermon out here on deliverance. And the whole point of that sermon was that not only is God our Savior and our friend, but God is our deliverer. And He can deliver us from anything and everything that we might be, I use the expression, in bondage to. Maybe there's a better way to say that, Bobby. But when I say in bondage, it's just like sometimes the devil can get us where we're, it's almost like he has chains and ropes and around us, and we just don't have any freedom. And whether that's drugs or alcohol, whether that's some sexual addiction, whether that is fear and anxiety, whether it's guilt and shame, whether it's, you know, worrying about tomorrow, whatever it is, it can really be a bondage. And Bobby, I believe with all my heart, the devil doesn't care what we're in bondage to as long as we're in bondage. And so when I did that sermon that night, what I was trying to stress is that whatever our bondage, God can set us free. Now, before we get to Bobby's part on this program tonight, which is going to be the best part, I want to lay the foundation. The best part's always the Bible. So open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 4, and I want to lay the foundation for my discussion with Bobby out of this passage of Scripture. It is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, and we read here in Luke chapter 4 about how Jesus, who had grown up in a little town called Nazareth, not too far from the Sea of Galilee, how he went to the synagogue there in his hometown. And Bobby, this would have been a synagogue that he had been to all of his growing up years on the Sabbath day to worship God. And on this particular day, he went to this synagogue, and beginning in verse 16, we read what happened on this particular Saturday. It says, "So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written." Now look up here just for a second. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't have the New Testament at all. But even what we know as the Old Testament was not in a bound book like we have today. It was in scrolls, and the different books of the Bible would have different scrolls. And so the long book of Isaiah was just in one scroll. And so the attendant in that synagogue handed Jesus the scroll of Isaiah the prophet, and Jesus opened it up. Now, he didn't have chapter divisions, verse divisions. It wasn't easy to find like it is for us. But Jesus found a particular passage in the scroll of Isaiah. We know the passage as Isaiah chapter 61, the suffering servant passage. It's one of the parts in Isaiah where Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. So Jesus takes this scroll and he opens it up, and he's so familiar with the Scriptures, of course he wrote the Bible, but he's so familiar with how it's laid out on the page, he goes right to this passage and he read these words out of Isaiah the prophet. Here it is. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." That's what I'm talking about when I say in bondage. You're in captivity. "And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty or at freedom those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So put yourself in this synagogue in Nazareth, and you're out there watching this service unfold, Jesus has taken the scroll, opened it up, read that passage, and when he got finished, look in verse 20, it says, he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And then it says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Don't you know that's true? Jesus has just read the Bible, and now he gave the scroll back to the attendant. He sat down. Everybody's looking at Jesus. And in verse 21, Jesus began to say to them, this is fascinating what Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus had read to them a passage they were very familiar with about how the Messiah would come and restore sight to the blind and set the captives free and do all these things that we just read. And so everybody's looking at Jesus after he read it, and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Isaiah was talking about me, and here I am. And I have come to do those things. And one of the things he came to do was to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It is a fascinating passage of Scripture. Now, in the sermon that I gave a few Sunday nights ago, I made a big point that God has different ways of delivering his people. And many times, God delivers us gradually. Here's a person, for example, who's been an alcoholic, or a person who's been involved with drugs, or here's a person who all their life has been a worrier, and just that's really plagued them all through the years. And my observation, I don't have a Bible verse on this one way or the other, but my observation has been that more often than not, God seems to deliver people gradually, little by little. Especially if it's an internal thing like worry or something like that, it just seems to be in the process of time as we learn to trust God more and more, that anxiety and that stress and that worry, it just diminishes and eventually it just melts away in the presence of our faith in Jesus Christ. So my observation has been mostly God seems to set people free gradually, but God is God. God can do anything he wants to do. And God doesn't have to just set people free gradually, even though if he chooses to do it that way, so be it. Many times God sets people free from whatever has them in bondage immediately. And so when I was working on this message a few weeks ago, I called the big man and I said, Bobby, I cannot think of a better example of anybody I know who was in bondage and got set free. And in your particular case, you got set free immediately. It wasn't gradual, it was immediate. And so that's why I've asked him to be up here tonight. And so, Bobby, for those who may not know you or who may not know your story, first of all, Bobby played football for the University of Houston back in the days of the Southwest Conference. If some of you guys who've been around a while will remember back in the late 70s when the University of Houston was in the Cotton Bowl.
Two in a row
Cotton Bowl, but one year against Notre Dame and Joe Montana. And the big man was in that game right there. So he was in that game. So this man is tough. You know, Bobby used to want to be a professional wrestler. And I would love to be his manager. I think it would be awesome. He was going to be called the Barn Top Rooster.
That's right.
Right, Bobby? That's what he's going to be.
That wasn't my idea, but it was a true story.
It's a true story anyway. But Bobby, tell us briefly, especially for those who don't know, what were you in bondage to and for how long?
I was in bondage to alcohol and drugs. Typical story, I guess, unfortunately, common story from a broken home, no father, no father figure. And I don't use that as an excuse because I know who my father is today.
Amen.
And because we did get to have some sort of relationship later in life, okay, which is a blessing.
Yes.
But my dad actually worked in a beer distributorship, and he used to bring it home when I was a little boy, before him and my mother divorced. So I got started drinking at a very, very young age, and they broke up when I was about 12 years old. So the alcohol started real early, okay? But it was nothing compared to what I got introduced to right after one of those Cotton Bowls, a championship season at the University of Houston. And there was a man at a party. And first of all, let me just say this. I know for a fact that I was making a whole lot of bad decisions grounded in the power of Bobby, a maximum position of weakness, before I was living for the Lord. But I got introduced to a substance after a big football game. You might see this like in a movie, man. I'm serious. This is so real, you know. And he lays the substance out on the table and says, "Try this, Bobby. You got to try this." His exact words. All the girls love it. The pros are doing it. It's natural. It won't hurt you. That man might as well have been the devil himself. Because I tried that, and that started a bondage. Slowly but surely, a bondage for 22 and a half years to a substance. 22.5 years I was in bondage. And I take full responsibility for that. You know, I made the wrong decision. And it took a long time to catch up with me. But because, you know, I mean, I was a big, strong man. It took a lot to get me. But once it really got me, it had a death grip on me. It was going to kill me.
You're talking about this substance was cocaine, right? Cocaine.
Yeah, it was very, very popular in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was everywhere. And I made a bad decision. My life's an open story. I've been delivered by the Lord of glory, man. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
I have been delivered, and I have no desire whatsoever for any of that trash, and hadn't had for 17 years. I got delivered at the age of 42 years and 3 months old. And it started when I was 19 or 20, so, you know, that's 22 and a half years of that. So, and it just got worse and worse all the time. So there'd be little periods of recovery, but it got worse. You know, I never could get off. I tried hundreds and hundreds of times. You asked me some more questions.
Okay.
My life's an open book. I'm just telling you guys. I'm not ashamed of anything.
Right.
You know, matter of fact, the Bible told me it was good that I was afflicted. Good, because now I obey the Lord.
Right, right. Amen, Bobby. It's a beautiful testimony. You know, when I first got to know you back in about 2002, somewhere in there, Joel had been working out at your gym, and he introduced our family to you, and we all kind of just became friends at that time. At that time, Bobby, were you delivered, or were you about to be delivered, or where were you in your life in 2000, 2001?
When I met Joel first, Joel was working across the street when he was just working there, and you know, he was wanting to get in better shape, so I helped him get in shape. I was still in the gym business. Everything had gone away. The addiction stole everything from me. You know.
So by this time, your life, you're at a low.
Oh, I'm at a low, but I'm at a low in a state of peace, knowing that God has delivered me. Because whenever I hit rock bottom, February 18th, 2002, and I met y'all just a little bit after that, Joel came to the gym. I helped him. Next thing he tells me, he sees me going through that. And he says, "Man, I got a brother that's a preacher. My dad's a pastor over here. And he brought you over there, and me and you just got connected."
Right.
And then, you know, but it was really, to answer your question, it was probably just about a couple of months before that I got delivered from it. Somewhere around March of 02, something like that.
Right around that time.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby, as we actually hone in on the deliverance, on that time in your life where God set you free. And before I get to that, let me ask. I always love to ask the congregation if it's appropriate to ask. How many of you, it may not be drugs and cocaine, how many of you tonight, and I don't expect it to be everybody raising their hands, but I would think there would be significant numbers, but let me just ask the question. How many of you tonight would say there is something in your life, whether it's the type of thing he's describing or the type of thing that I have described in my own life when it was the internal, the fear in the mind and all these type of things. How many of you tonight would say there's something that you would like and you need to be delivered from? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, Bobby, what would you say? 60%, 50%, 50%, 60%, somewhere in there?
That's quite a few.
Half the room here tonight.
Thanks for being honest.
Absolutely, thanks for being honest. As we think about your deliverance, tell us how that happened. What was it that caused you, or how did God set you free?
It took so long for it finally to completely knock me to my knees. I'm serious. I don't ever want to sound boastful. I was a strong guy. It took a whole lot. I could take a lot of pain and suffering, unfortunately. But when I finally hit rock bottom, and I cried out to the God that my aunt introduced me to when I was a little boy, I tried my best to believe back then at the age of like 13 years old, you know. And I got a feeling I was really saved at the time, man, because I was always convicted. Talk about a hell on earth being convicted all those years, you know.
Right.
But I cried out to this God after hitting rock bottom, and it's more of a place, skid row in the brain. It's more of your emotional state, your mental state, your soul, right? you're just completely bankrupt, you know. You have nothing. You just lose it all, you know, but it's mainly like skid row in the brain. I still had a decent place to live. I still had a vehicle. You know, I work with a lot of people. They lose everything. I mean, all the way down to nothing, you know, the clothes on their body, you know. But mine was more of an emotional, mental state, and I hit this bottom. I mean, it was so horrible. I don't ever want to experience that again. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people who have those problems, you know. But I hit this bottom, the bottom of all bottoms, and I cried out to this God. I hit my knees. It's such a long and broad story. It really is. I'd need a lot of time to tell that, but to shorten it as much as I can right now. Cried out to this God, please, God, help me. Please help me. I'll do anything. I mean, I was, and like I said, it was my mind, my soul, my heart, my mentality that was just dead. It was just killing me. I was just miserable. I was just completely leveled. Okay, and I didn't even hit a bottom. I splattered. I mean, it was just terrible, you know. And I cried out to this God to help me. And about 3.5 weeks later, 3.5 weeks now, and I'm going to give you this story right here. This is absolute God's truth, what happened to me right here. I was driving back from an AA meeting. I was driving up Highway 3 around Bay Area Boulevard. Right. We always talk about Bay Area Boulevard. And after crying out, God, please help me to change. I'll do anything. I can't live like this anymore. I cannot do this. I'm going to die, you know. And so I was driving down this boulevard, and all of a sudden I had this feeling come over me. I mean, it was a feeling. Now, I was very, very emotional at the time. It had a lot to do with emotion, I'm sure. It doesn't matter what it had to do with. It was God Almighty, the Holy Spirit delivered. Right. So this feeling came over me from my feet all the way up my body, all the way up my head, just like a spiritual intoxication, just like a cleansing, you know, just like a powerful feeling. It was a little scary at first. I had to pull over in a parking lot. I pulled over in a parking lot, and this feeling was just washing me out. I mean, it's strong, real strong. I'd like to just give you dramatic how it is, but I'd get up and start making noise probably. I mean, it was strong, okay? And all of a sudden, I looked in the rearview mirror. After I pulled over, I looked in the rearview mirror, tears floating down my cheeks, and it was just like, it just, seriously, just God lifted off by me. And I'm going to tell you right now, when that happened, this is probably a 2.5-3 minute washing, whatever it was, is the Holy Spirit. And after that happened, God told me in my mind, in here, not in an audible voice, but he spoke to my right lobe, to my heart, to my brain. He says, you're done. You'll never drink again. You'll never do another line of cocaine. You'll never use any mind-altering substance. You're done. And I'm done.
Wow. Wow.
That's what happened. Now, if you don't mind, because I want you to ask me another question if you want to, and I know we're on time level. You got me going now, buddy. I want to give this to you out of a textbook that really is from the secular program of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? Because when I read this, this almost makes me want to cry, man. I mean, there's a story in there, real quick, a story in there, page 27 of the big book of AA. Now, you know, we use some of that here, but we relate it to the Bible. You know, the Bible's the main deal for over here, but... Right. You know, we bring a lot of people from AA. We build a bridge from there to the church.
Well,
we get a lot of people
AA's,
saved from AA's,
listen,
secular.
Bobby, as we've AA is a wonderful program. It's just that we've got to tell them who the higher power is.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's why when you asked me if I wanted to start this group here, I was about ready to do a high kick and jump through the ceiling. I was so fired up. He said, hey, man, you want to start a group? Do you remember that?
Vaguely,
come on,
yeah,
man.
My dad and I were both.
I was working him out too hard back then, see? But anyway, so there's this, let me give you this couple of paragraphs in this book. Because when I read this, and when I read it, I said, this is exactly what happened to me. And here's how it goes. It says in there, and it's a story between this rich, rich man that had every means of getting off alcohol in the world, but he couldn't do it. He had been back and forth on the big steam liner over to the Orient, over there in foreign lands, to see the Carl Jung, the world-renowned psychiatrist, whatever. And it's a story between these guys, and it goes like this. Some of our alcoholic readers, or drug-addicted readers, may think they can do without spiritual help. Let us tell you the rest of the conversation our friend had with his doctor. The doctor said, you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Chronic. I've never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. That was me, February 18th of 02. He said to the doctor, "Doctors, are no exceptions?" "Yes, there is," replied the doctor. "Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, these alcoholics, these addicts have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. Vital, life-giving spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are a phenomenon. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. And these ideas, emotions, and attitudes that were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them." Wow. And that's what happened to me driving down the boulevard.
Wow. Wow. The Lord set you free, buddy.
Thank you for letting me tell you that. I memorized that pretty quick.
Yeah, you quoted it well. That was good, buddy. That was good.
It happened to me.
That's not only from your mind, that's from your heart. Let me ask you this question, big man. Have you ever, since that date and that experience you've talked about off of Bay Area and Highway 3, have you ever had any desire to go back to the alcohol?
I have never had a strong desire. There's been little thoughts that came through my mind, but I recall from them is from a hot flame. I'm serious. There was a time when it was on me just a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's never been, really and truly, only like two or three times that I even had a little thought about it, and God just took it right away.
Well, I'm almost encouraged. I thought you were going to say completely flat out no to that question. Well, I'm almost encouraged that you said you still had the desire, because I think sometimes people who struggle with that, certainly, but also maybe have struggled with some things like I've been through, which is a different level of struggle, but I don't think, it's just different. It's not better or worse. It's just a different form of bondage. Right. But when you get delivered from a fear or from something like that, I think sometimes the devil will try to pull you back into that bondage. And so we have to be able to fight that off, right? I mean, respond to that in faith, to say something
absolutely.
To it, right? I mean,
absolutely. I'm just telling you, I've only had like two or three little moments right. where it just came into my head, but it was nothing. It was like nothing. It's like a gnat.
Right. You know? Bobby, let me ask you a question. Do you think tonight, for half this room who raised their hands a moment ago and said they have something in their life that they would like to be delivered from, do you think tonight that God is able to deliver them from that?
I do. I absolutely do.
What would you, if you were in a private conversation with anybody who needs to be delivered from something tonight, what would you, if they came to you and said, "Bobby, I'm struggling with drugs, I'm struggling with alcohol, I'm struggling with anxiety," and the reason I bring in some of these other things is, though, that's just as much of a struggle. I'm struggling with guilt. What would you say to that person? What do they need to do to, as we talked about this morning, put themselves in position to experience the delivering power of God?
And I'm not going to say that God's going to deliver. We know this. You said that most people have it over a slower period type of deal than what I had. I mean, I'm nothing special. I'm just telling you that happened to me.
Right.
As far as, you know, a deliverance in a slower manner, I would say, first of all, take a look at your routine. Look at your routine. What are you doing every day? What do you want to do? How bad do you want to overcome it? Do you really, really want to be delivered from it? And if you do, you should come to our group on Tuesday night. You should come to our group on Tuesday night or Thursday night and get in there with other people who are struggling with things like that, strongholds and addictions and things like that, and come in and let us show you a bunch of principles and show you mechanics and maybe a different way to live than what you're living. I'm not saying that everybody needs that, but some people do need it. Some people don't really know how powerful a good, strong spiritual routine is. I've been doing the same thing now for 17 years without stopping. I do the same thing every day.
Your spiritual
routine. Yes, sir.
Morning prayer time and scriptures.
I can tell you something, but it's just almost embarrassing. Well, it's not embarrassing. I hit my knees twice before I leave the house.
Every morning.
Two-hit morning.
Wow.
Used to be two hits or something else. Now it's hit them knees twice.
Bless your heart, big man.
Just telling you, it's the way it is for me.
Wow.
And then every night before I go to bed, sometimes during, I mean, I'm just telling you, man, it's just how I am.
You're just continually in communion with God and giving anything to God that could trip you up.
Yes, absolutely. Man, my mind's going ever right now.
Bobby, we're going to have, as I mentioned, our time of prayer and praise, and we're going to sing two or three songs. And these Sunday night services have really been special because it gives us an opportunity not only to focus on the Lord in worship and to praise Him, but also to bring our prayer burdens to Him here at the altar. And I know tonight with the orchestra set up like it is, it's a little different, but there's still all kind of areas we can go to and pray. You can pray in your seat. You can pray wherever you want to pray physically. But Bobby, as far as preparing us now for the prayer time, what would you say to that person tonight who says, I'm in bondage too. What can I do tonight between me and God that would put me in a position to get set free? What would your answer to that question be?
I'm going to quote you another page out of a book. You know, it's very powerful. I live like this today, but, you know, I had to understand deeply that of myself, I am nothing. Of myself, I am nothing. Without Him, I am lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend with a capital F, Jesus Christ, take him away root and branch. Hmm. You know, humble. Humble in your mind. You know, just try to be humble and pray to God and ask Him to help you. You know, I mean, I'm just giving you, everybody knows these are the basics. But
right. But I think about that so many times in the Scripture we read, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's part of what this prayer time is. It is an opportunity for us to humble ourselves. Maybe that's what prayer is at its core anyway. It is humbling ourselves before the Lord and admitting we need His help.
Yeah.
We can't do it without Him. We can't get these chains off without Him coming to take them off of us. And so I would say tonight to the person who is here who says, you know what, I'm in bondage. Maybe it's like Bobby. Maybe it's been over 20 years. Maybe it's been a shorter period of time. But bondage is bondage. Maybe it's his type of bondage. Maybe it's some different type. Doesn't matter. I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus said to that group in that synagogue in Nazareth on that particular Saturday so long ago that He has come to set the captives free. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus has not changed. He still saves, and He can still set His people free from anything that would put us in bondage. And so tonight, I would just say, as we enter into this prayer and praise time, whether you come forward or do it in your seat, that's between you and God, but bring that burden to God. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Bring it to God, put it in His hands, trust Him with it, and get up out of that, off your knees, and walk back to your seat and say, Jesus, I've given that to you. I'm trusting you with it, and I'm free. I think it's important that we claim that freedom and that deliverance, even if we're not feeling it in our bodies. We just claim it and take it by faith. And so, aren't you appreciative for Bobby being so honest and transparent tonight? Always he is.
I just want to say real quick how grateful I am to this church, to you guys in this church and all you people. I love my church. I love this church, okay? You guys are wonderful. I just want you to know that. I just want to say that publicly. It's my privilege, it's my honor to get to serve here in any form or fashion. So thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you. We love this church loves you too. I can guarantee you that. So I want us just to have with our heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have our prayer and praise time tonight. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord here. And whether I felt Him or not, He's here because He promised where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. And tonight, not only is Jesus here, but He is here in power. And tonight, He can take those chains off of your mind, off of your heart, out of your life, if you will bring them to Him, put it in His hands, and trust Him to set you free. With your head bowed and eyes closed tonight, no one knows what's in your mind and heart but you and God. What is it tonight that you need to be set free from? Maybe it is a sin. Maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it is, as Bobby mentioned, a stronghold in your mind. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we could just hear those chains broken and those chains loosed from people all across this room? And in a few minutes, we get in our cars and we drive to our homes and we say, God, I came to church tonight in bondage, but I'm going home tonight free. And God, I thank You that You came to set the captives free. And I thank You, Lord, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I just pray during this time of prayer and praise that all across the room, we would bring You our bondages and that You would indeed set Your people free. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen and amen.